Dear Lord, I thank you for this good night that you've given us, for this opportunity to be able to come and to be able to worship you together, to be able to share fellowship, to support one another, Lord. And Lord, just ask you to be with Tony, heal him, help him to get feeling better soon, and bless this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hey, I know normally we don't, Tony doesn't have a title for the teaching on Wednesday night, but I just kind of felt strongly that there is a title tonight. The title tonight for tonight's sermon, by the way, it's in Psalms 11. We're going to go through the entire chapter. It's not one of those real long ones with 120 verses or anything, so you guys could relax. But are we ground or are we grounded? And I'm going to lead into that with a little groaner here. What do you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef. That's right. And follow up on that, where do you find a cow with no legs? Exactly where you left him. So tonight, we're going to discuss whether we are ground Christians. Are we grounded? Are we grounded in the Word? So in Psalm 11, verse 1, says, "In the Lord I put my trust." I want to stop right there because there's a whole sermon right there in trust. What constitutes trusting in the Lord? To me, it means that whatever happens in my life, I trust God to be in charge. He's in control of whatever's going to happen. Whether I get all upset about it or go on work my buns off or laugh about it, whatever, God is in charge, isn't he? God is in control. So I'm going to let God stay in control of my life. In Proverbs 3:5, it describes trust as trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Just because something really nasty is going on in my life or in your life and I don't understand it, that's okay. I'm not supposed to understand. We're not always supposed to understand it. We're just supposed to trust God. Trust God to take charge and to control what's going on and to teach us and put us somewhere else different and better from that lesson, from that trial that we're going through. And this is one of my favorite verses here when I'm going through some stuff, you know, I try to remember Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts." What does exalt mean? You got a good definition for exalt? To me, exalt means, yeah! A Snoopy thing, you know, oh, yeah! My heart exalts. Because I trust God, I know that God is in charge. And I'm going to finish the verse now. And with my song, I give thanks to him. Whenever I sing, whenever I worship Christ, I'm giving thanks to God. And I'm not singing to you or to the person next to me or whatever. I find I get a lot better worship if I'm singing to God. I'm putting my trust in him. I'm giving my worship to him directly. It's for his ears. So when we're going through garbage, where do we find ourselves going for help? Where do we take, and you know, in the world, people, they're going through problems and they go to the bookstore, maybe they'll find a self-help book. Or they'll go to the radio station, they listen to some guru here, or who's that dude, Dr. Phil, or something like that, to try to fix their problems or something. They go to counseling or something. They may even reach out and find an inspirational work and searching for inspiration. But all of those things are not going to help much if God's word is not into it. I'm a big reader. You can ask my wife. I'm reading all the time. My phone here, I've got Kindle on here. I probably have 5 or 6 books going at the same time. I've got a book for fun, just relaxing. I've got mysteries. I've got how to be a better fisherman, or how to be a better dad, or how to be, you know, stuff. A lot of these how-to books. And lately I've been finding myself looking for inspirational books, books that will inspire me Christianity-wise, you know, inspire me to do things good for God. And there's a lot of these inspirational books out there, and some of them, I'm not even going to name any names and stuff out here, but some are from very well-known pastors and teachers who are talking about the Lord and the way the Lord has worked in their life and stuff. But when I read some of those, and I read through a chapter, and I say, well, that was a good chapter. That kind of excited me about some stuff in there. But it's missing something. What it's missing is God's word. I'm not going to get any benefit from reading what Dr. So-and-so said here unless he relates it to God's word. God's word, this is what he gave us. We can find all these answers in here. Now, sometimes some inspirational stories. I just finished reading a book called The Spirit of Badge 145. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a cop. And this book, The Spirit Behind Badge 145, is written by a cop and a Christian. And each chapter, it's like a devotional. I read a chapter a day for as long as it went. And I was sad when it finished because each chapter starts out with telling a war story. They're all like cop stories. Oh, yeah, we were chasing him down, and we caught him, and then he did this, and he did that. And I learned. And then he goes into what he learned about that, about his Christian walk. And he refers that to Scripture. And, you know, there's a lesson to be learned here, and that lesson comes from Scripture. And this story exemplifies, is an example of what God was trying to say. Christ's parables was much the same way, right? When he talks about the seed that fell on rocky ground or on stony ground or wet ground or whatever, he's using those stories to exemplify God's will. And to me, when I read something and when I'm searching for God, what God wants me, I want God's word in it. And I'm finding, you know, I should read this book straight through more and more, because I don't want to read this book over here that, well, God's word says this. This is what God's word says. Why not just go straight to God's word? Right? Makes sense to me. But to go along with that, a part of what Tony said this past week in his teaching about where the answers lie. When he's talking about whether you be liberal or conservative, Democrat, Republican, whether you're looking for what politics can do for you over here, or economics, or those are all magic bullets that don't work. The only thing that's going to really work is God. And that's what I am choosing to search for and where I would choose to stand, because that's where I'm going to get some good strength, right? And I don't have a fancy tablet. Well, I got a fancy, it's yellow tablet, nice. So to go on into Psalms, 1b, the second part of Psalms 1, says, how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. And I first read through that, I thought, what the heck does that mean? What does that, how do I say to my soul, flee as a bird? And it's like, okay. A chicken is a bird. And a chicken, what does somebody think about when you think, you're a chicken? You're afraid, right? I don't want to be a scared bird. I don't want to be a chicken. I'm going to stand up for Christ. And that's, you know, to me, to flee, and I think I know that I have in the past flown at times when I should have stood my ground because I let fear take over. But to flee is the wrong thing to do. When I am faced with adversity, when I'm faced with somebody who questions my stand, when faced somebody who questioned the morality or God's law, I want to have the strength and the power to stand fast, to be right there where God placed me. In Psalms 121, verses 1 through 2, it says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I'm reminded of the verse in Matthew where it talks about people will try to flee to the mountains, but they'll be too late. You're not going to be able to flee and go to the mountains. God is, the mountain will come to us when we truly, truly need him. And in Philippians 1:27, it says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. That's pretty self-explanatory to me. You know, if we stand there and if we trust God, he's going to give us the strength to face what's coming up. And what's coming up? What do we see coming around us now? Going into Psalm 11:2, it says, for look, the wicked bend their bows. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Are Christians targeted today? Are we really targeted? Do we feel targeted? You know, I know I've, you know, you look at what's going on in Korea. If somebody is a Christian there, they can be imprisoned, tortured, and probably killed for stating their faith in Korea. In Afghanistan, prior to the U.S. withdrawal, they were unable to stand up for Christianity in Afghanistan. And now that we've withdrawn, it's even worse. Christians, if somebody states they're Christian there, they're probably going to be killed for it. They're going to be martyred. In Kenya, and we have a presence in Kenya, our church does. And I know I read a news story, January 5th, there were 7 Christians killed in Kenya for being Christians by radical Muslims. So, but that's across the rest of the world. What about the USA? Are we facing adversity in the U.S.? Yeah, most certainly so, huh? On every deal, you know, they're attacking marriages. They're attacking the family. Their sexuality, you can't even watch TV or drive down the road without a billboard or a commercial striking something sexy at you and messing with your head. There's transgenderism. know, oh, God made us male and female. And people wants to say, okay, well, my name's Helen, even though, you know, my name's Helen. Well, okay. Sorry, Helen. Yeah, respect for God's law. The bottom line is there's no respect for God's law. And if you stand up for God's law at work, in the school, on the street, you're going to face adversity and you're going to face ridicule. I saw a deal where a police officer in a place back east was off duty at an abortion clinic saying a prayer at a protest. And he was praying. And because of that, he was fired. In the good old US of A. Yeah. So yeah, we are facing adversity here. So what are we supposed to do? Stand firm. We want to be grounded in the word and steadfast. We want to stand fast right here, ready to do his will, to pass whatever test he passed before us. And the thing is, we already had the victory, don't we? You know? Satan hadn't accepted that yet, but we already have the victory. In John 3:16, it says, and you guys can say this with me because I know you all know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him will have everlasting life. Everlasting life doesn't start when this body dies. I've accepted Christ. When I accepted Christ, my everlasting life should start. That sounds like a pretty good victory, right? We need to remember when we're facing these trials, when we're facing these tests, that we already have the victory. We, you know, our thanks to God is not for help me with this financial issue over here, or help me when I feel sick over here, or help me with my job. What we're thankful to God for is Christ died on the cross for our sins. He died for our sins already because he loved us and still loves us. And if he loved us enough to die for our sins, do you think he's going to abandon us now? Nah, no. He will still be here for us. In 1 Corinthians 15:57 through 58, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain, but in the Lord. Psalms 11:4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Ooh. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Does God test us? Yeah, he tests us. He doesn't tempt us, but he definitely wants us to be tested. He wants to see if we really love him. He wants us to grow and to be strong and to get stronger. You know, if we go to the gym, and we hang out at the gym in our real fancy, cool workout clothes and kick back there and drink our fancy energy drink, and we talk about this diet or that routine or whatever that's going to take and help us and stuff like that. And if that's all we do, are we going to get stronger? We're only going to get stronger if we go over there and we lift that weight. we tote that bale, we run that block. And that's what the tests are about that God gives us. That's why we have tests. We have tests so we can grow stronger. We're going to grow stronger because God wants us stronger in order to do his work. We can't do his work if we're weaklings. We can't do his work if we're just kind of kicking back and drinking our energy drinks and talking about doing it. We have to actually get out there and stand fast when we're faced with what God has for us. Psalms 10:5 says, "The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of the cup." So, these wicked people out there, where is it? Does it say anything in there about says, we're going to go out there and kick their butts? God's going to take care of that. That's another place where we trust him. We're going to trust that God is in control. And he says over and over and over again that the wicked will face the consequences of their actions. We will face consequences of our actions. What are our actions going to be? Are our actions going to be for the Lord? Or our actions going to be against the Lord? It's either for him, against him, you know. You can't just be in the middle, uncomfortable riding that fence. Psalm 7:9 says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." Another place where it says God is going to test us, but there's nothing wrong with us praying and asking God to bring the wickedness to an end, is it? You know, we want him to come and take us home so badly. We want the pain and stuff to end. I see these posts on there on Facebook. I don't know how many. It's like, and somebody post on there says, if you could take something away from the world, what would it be? It's easy. Sin. If there's one thing I could just get rid of forever, sin. He's going to take care of it sooner or later. And James 1:2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Again, going back to that gym, getting that exercise, working to remain stronger. You know, sure, we're there with other people. Here we are with other people. We're gathering. We're getting nutrition. Right here. And we're doing that so we're prepared to go out and be tested and to be able to face the trials. I will have to confess that there are times that when faced with a trial, I've been shattered, been devastated. Feel like I just can't move another step forward. In despair. And I'm ashamed of those times. But God still used those times to teach me. And there's other times and stuff that have come by that I've used the times when I failed as a lesson to, okay, I don't want to do that again. I want to do this the way God wants me to do. I want to stand firm. I want to stand strong. If I have full and complete trust in God, in God's desire for me to succeed, How can I feel devastated when I get slapped down a little bit? How can I be in despair when the all-powerful God loves me? He reached down there and pulled me up out of that pit more times than I want to admit. But each time, he pushes me back forward. He doesn't just take and hold me. Okay, I'm going to protect you. Gets me out there, he might take and brush some of the mud off my back, off my face. Okay, get out there. Go to it. Do it again, but do it better. So that's what I try to do. I'm going to fail again, likely. I hope that whatever I do, that when God beholds me, when he looks at me, when his eyes fall upon my efforts, that he will feel at least a little proud of me, maybe. I don't know. I seek his honor. I seek his approval. I will never be good enough. But because of Christ, I am enough. I am enough now. So, in Psalms 33:15, it says, he fashions their hearts individually. I like that. Individually. We're all different in here. We're all the same, but we're different. He gives each of us different types of tests. The tests and stuff that I have faced are different than than ones this gentleman right here faces. Or that you. Because we're individuals. God treats us as individuals, but he loves us all as his children. And so, you know, he considers all of our works. He considers what we do. And this is a test to see if we actually, do you really love God enough to stand up for him? Do you really love God enough to go into the ditches or be wherever he places you? And I'm going back to now that silly, corny joke about the cow. The times that I have failed, I felt like ground beef. Chewed up. Ground beef doesn't look very good. But when I am grounded, when I'm grounded in the Word, when I have his strength behind me, and I allow myself to rest on him instead of trying to take and do it myself, then I'm grounded. And where I want to be, when that test comes, when the Lord's eyes fall upon me at the end of that test, am I going to be fleeing for the mountains? Or am I going to be that cow with no legs who's right there where he left me? Right there where I was left to fight the battle, to take the stand that he put me to be. And when you think about that stand, when you're at that stand, that cow with no legs, he's going to be pretty skinny pretty soon because he's going to run out of grass. Without God to come and feed him, without God to come and feed me, I'm going to not be very strong. But if I'm fed by the Word, I can be right there where God placed me, and I want to stand fast right where the Lord wants me to be. Amen? Amen. 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 Go ahead and pray, please.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this night, and I hope that your word was hurt tonight, and I hope that each of us is able to go home safely tonight and to be able to be closer to you, and that we each will face and pass the test when the test is put before us. Ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.